Okay. So the second mistake people make with the extra money they have. Let's see what he says.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just summarizing what we did yesterday, if you don't mind, with permission. Money is divided into three categories. The first category is what you need to live on. Okay? Hechreichich, toda. Hechreichich, what you need to live on. The chelek hasheni is panosah shenitin l'tzorich shel acherim. Then there's panosah that's given to you that you need in order to mefanes other people that you're responsible for. And the third category is wealth, what he calls hoyin. There's nothing for you to do with that. You've taken care of your own minimal needs. You've taken care of everybody else around you's needs. And all this other money is nothing, no purpose for you. Either someone else will inherit it or it'll get lost from you. It's nothing to do with you at the end of the day. There's nothing you can do with it. Let's see. Let's see. That's the second mistake people make. They don't know how to use these three portions of money. They don't deal with it. Okay. Achelika atosa shlishis. This person is very, very good. He does what he has to do, and he gives the panosa to everybody that shaykh, to whoever, all this extra money, he takes care of everyone that takes care of. The way that Kodesh Baruch Hu allocates the budget. He reminds them of all the good he's doing for them. We'll see what that means now. It's like I'm the one that's financing you. He's the one that's sustaining them. I'm doing your chesed. I paid the rent, lady. I paid for your new dress. I am doing you a chesed. He would like a bit of appreciation and recognition for what he's doing. He wants some kind of payback. And he becomes very proud of all these, how he's taking care of everybody. What he doesn't realize is that Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't need you to take care of these other people. Kodesh Baruch Hu is quite capable of looking after everybody. But he gave you a schut to be the shliach to do good to these other people. He thinks this is where the mistake starts. You're looking for the shayrish. If you haven't had this problem, and don't lie to yourself because we've all had this problem, we've all made this mistake somewhere along the line, even if it was just a fleeting thought that the Yetzirah sort of shot through your head. The mistake starts with this, that you think that if you'd not given these people all this money that was yours, you would still have it. And you know what I could do with that money? It would still be here. That money that was in the bank account that I gave everybody else, if I didn't give it to them, you know what my bank account would look like? If it wasn't for him, these people would be, they would have starved to death by now if it wasn't for me. But Tipesh there, who are miskin. This person that thinks like this, who tipesh and is a miskin. He toils for nothing in this world to gather wealth to feed other people. He's just blowing his whole olamaba on the schar. Of our Baal Seichel, let's see who he's supposed to be. What's the correct way to deal with this situation? By the way, this is something we all do all the time. You did someone a favor, kind of you owe me one. It's a, just it's a teva, more kasher to that's a teva that's put into us. A debt gets created when someone does something for you. That's the way the world's created. That's why you owe Hashem everything. Because Hashem's doing so much for you, you know that you owe him one. You know that there's a shibud. Deep down, you know. That's why you find all ways to get out of it. Yes, you do. Do you owe Hashem? Ain't shibud God bless it. If you're supposed to learn Shara Aveda Selokim before Shabbatot. But we didn't for whatever reason. So, no. So let's just put this in place. You're asking a profound question. That's the whole basis of the Shara Batok of the Council of Officers on this Yusod. Amara Machaba, all the Banu Bushara Yichud is a Choyva Lamin, but like Shalom, but Achtus Elokim. In Shara Yichud, we learned about Achtus Hashem, whatever. Ubani Bashara Bachina is Darche his boyinus betovas shashemetiv libne adam. And in Shara Bachina, you were taught how to meditate and think deeply about all the good that Hashem does for us. Now that you know that Hashem's one, now that you know that Hashem is overloading you with unbelievable goodness and chesed, now you come to Aleni Laski, Achrei Shari Melu, Esachoiva Hamuteles ala Adam, Keshetovas Elu Brurusloi. When all the good that Hashem's doing for you is clear to you, what your chayv is, Kabbalah Savodas Elokim. Kibo Shemachayev HaSeichel is a Makabbalah Toiva. The Seichel Machayev, somebody receives Toiva to know that there's a Shibud created to the person who does the good for him. Ulahoides Ulahaki Toiva Lemisha Etiv Lo. Person has to thank and recognize, that's called a Koros HaToiv, Makit Toiva to the one who was Maitiv to him. That's minimum understanding that everybody should have. If somebody does you a favor, somebody does good for you, there's a shibud gets created. There's a debt that gets created. Yeah. What you do with that debt is what most people spend their lives running away from. Kids feel guilty. We do all sorts of stuff. We nullify people. We do. That's another discussion. How we avoid a koros hatov. Well, there is a debt created. He should have this person. Yuma Fanising has to have a chorus of toif. To who we'll see. We're not clear yet. Again. Somebody does you a toiva. Who you have to have a chorus of toif to, we'll see. Is it to the person? Is it to Hashem? That's a complex discussion. We're going to discuss that.
Wait a minute. Giver. Just because the giver is
cheerful. That's the receiver has to have a chorus of toif somewhere. There's a debt. But we're talking about I'm the giver now, and I'm demanding this gift. No, look, watch carefully. When you do chesed for somebody, you have to do chesed in such a way that he doesn't feel a debt. And the person who receives the chesed has to feel totally indebted. Has to find ways to grow the debt. You do chesed, make sure you do it in such a way that the person doesn't feel any debt. He doesn't know that you did a chesed for him. There were masters of that. The Gemara discusses some of them. They used to do chesed in a way that nobody even knew there was a chesed done for them. The people that do you a chesed that make you feel like they owe you. The people that know to do chesed, they're amazing. However, the guy receiving the chesed, you have to go dig and dig and dig to find more and more and more. Wow, thank you God, what this guy did. The Gemara in Brochus. Where's the Gemara in Brochus? Nun Hay, Nun Vav. Gemara discusses the difference between an Oreach Toiv and an Oreach Ra. Someone that's talking about a visitor. Somebody goes to someone else's house. But it's talking about us. We all Orchim in this world. Oreach Toiv and Oreach Ra. An Oreach Toiv, what does he say? What does an Oreach Toiv say? He goes to someone's house, and the guy gives him a meal. He says, wow, such a nice meal, such beautiful bread and such wonderful fish, and the meat was unbelievable, whatever. And you know what? Everything he did just for me. He did it just for me. He knew I was coming. He went to the store. He went and chose the choice vegetable. Unbelievable. What does an Oreach Ra do? An Oreach Ra says, yeah, he gave me a bit of meat, a bit of fish. What's that? What did I get? I didn't get that much. And you know what? He wasn't even doing it for me. He was doing it for his wife and kids. I just got a bit of the leftovers. So it's a big deal. You understand that, Gemara? So let me ask you one question. What actually happened? The one Oreach is saying, Listen, they didn't give me that much. And anyway, they weren't doing it for me. So what's the big deal? The other Rav says, well, they gave me so much. And they were doing it all for me. One thing, there's no question of a Rav run a Rav top. There's a question of someone's lying. Someone's lying. What actually happened? You can tell me there were two different meals and what's the comparison. You can't compare two people in different situations. If you want to put two people to compare how they're going to respond, you have to give them the same situation. There you learn a stick in the gutter, by the way. Correct, you others? Simple. So what actually happened? Did they do it for him or not? So let's take the following example. Let's apply the following example. Your wife's having a baby. It's Erev Shabbos. They tell you, go to the hospital. You go to the hospital in Ishare Tzedek. 5 minutes before Shabbos, you settle her down, whatever. Nothing much has happened. You tell her, you know what? I'm going to go. There's a shul next door. I'm going to go daven. You take care of her meals, everything sorted out. I'll see you a bit later. Nothing's happening. Nurses tell you, you can't go home. It's too close to Shabbos. So you go daven and you bump into a friend of yours from the old Shiva days or whatever who's davening there. Say, what are you doing? I tell him, my wife's in the hospital, whatever. He says, why don't you come have a quick shudder by me? And then you can go home, tell my kiddush and eat by me. It's okay. There's not a story about Shalom Bayis. It's just a story to help us understand this. You come with another story. That's not about that, something else. She's sleeping, whatever. No mashaneh, okay? So you tell him, good idea. He knows you were coming. He prepared for you. No. So in you walk and you sit down and you eat the suda. Nice, beautiful Friday night suda. That's what the Gemara is talking about. The one person says, he's a gavaldika suda they gave me. And everything they did just for me is delusional. I mean, they did for you. They didn't even know you're coming. And the Rav Ra says, they didn't do anything for me. What did they do for me? They knew I was coming. So there was a bit of leftovers. They gave me the leftovers. So what's the problem here? Why is he in the Rav Ra and he's a Rav Toiv? The one's just telling the truth and the one's lying. The Rav Toiv is lying and the Rav Ra is just telling the truth. Yeah, they've got to stand this Gemara. You have the problem? What am I learning from this Gemara? No, he has a Kosa Toiv. He says, thank you very much for what you did. Thank you very much. Or thank you for the food, whatever. Wasn't that great, but it was okay. But said, I don't like the fish that way. I prefer Moroccan fish. I don't like the filter. Whatever, but okay. Thank you very much. Goodbye. He said, thank you. There's something deeply profound being taught here in this Gemara. You know what the truth is? They did do it just for you. Because if you're benefiting from something in this world, it was done just for you. There's an Rabbeinu Shalom in this picture. And the Rabbeinu Shalom did know you were coming. So when this woman went to the shop and bought the vegetables and came home and peeled them and cooked them and put them in the pot and cooked them or whatever, she was doing it all for you because at the end of the day, you got it. Who was she doing it for? She might not have been saying, Hineni Muchen Mugzuman, to feed the visitor that I don't know is coming. But at the end of the day, she did it for you. That's a person who's looking for ways to have a Koros HaToiv, to be more and more indebted, to have more Koros HaToiv. He finds every opportunity to have a Koros HaToiv. The Reach Ra is somebody who would rather not be indebted and not rather have obligations to anybody else. He finds every way out of having a Koros HaToiv. You know the difference? You know what's been taught in this Gemara? An Reach Toiv, somebody who's a good guy in this world, who's a good visitor in this world, finds every possible reason to have a Koros HaToiv. He doesn't say thanks Hashem for the peach. He thinks a little bit, and he thanks Hashem for, you know how many people were involved in getting me this slice of bread? You ever stop to process what it cost the Kodesh Baruch Hu in time and money and resources to get you a slice of bread? How many people do you think
100.
Provided you with a slice of bread? 100? Any other vote? Millions. Millions. Literally millions. Somebody had to get the bread from the baker to the makolet. You need a truck. A truck needs tires. For that, you need rubber. You need delic. You need metal. Somebody's got to dig the metal out of the ground. Somebody's got to bring the oil from Saudi Arabia. Somebody's got to bring the tire, the rubber from Malaysia. You know how many millions of people are Kodesh Baruch Hu? I'll tell you another thing. Just to do Nagel Vas before you got out of bed this morning. You did Nagel Vas next to your bed in a little, you know, one of those little metal cleans that you did Nagel Vas. Before you got out of bed this morning, a million people were up for thousands of years providing you with the metal for the clean and the water and the pump and the untold. So you can have a Koros HaToiv thanks for the water. Or you can be an Arach Toiv And you can start thinking about Kamani Chayv LaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Chovas HaLevavos says that if you would pay back a Kadosh Baruch Hu for the smallest chesed he did for you, for the rest of your life, you would never be able to pay him back. It would take many lifetimes, you would pay him back for the smallest chesed. Because the smallest chesed, if you open it up, is humongous. It's almost insult. A person goes through life like that. When a person's benching, we don't think like this because I've got a bunch, they're going to go and I'm in a hurry. But if once in your life you would bench like that, that's what we're talking about. There's a shibud, there's a few gets created because somebody did something for you. And we want to have a chorus of toiv. I want a chorus of toiv. So I'm looking for it and I'm penetrating it and I'm thinking, analyzing, how can I have a chorus of toiv for this person? And when he's doing chesed for somebody else, he's working on how can I avoid this person knowing that I did them a chesed because I don't want him to feel indebted. Hashem does chesedim for us day in and day out, and he hides it from us because he doesn't want us to see what he's doing for us so that we can learn from him. And yet we go and we strip off the mask and we see, wow, thank you, Hashem, look, look, look. And we think and we misboil it a little bit, and then you're overwhelmed with the chorus of toiv. Now you're starting to learn. Because that's the whole purpose of life. Toiv lahoides l'Hashem. The reason in this world is to lahoides l'Hashem. That's why we're here. So you want to do it well, so you start finding excuses and opportunities to do it. That's the difference between a reach toiv and a reach ra. The reach toiv is looking for opportunities to have a chorus of toiv. The reach ra is looking for opportunities to do the minimum and get out of there. But Lord said that Shibu does it. Tsugazun. He doesn't want the obligation. He doesn't want the shibud that comes out of somebody doing you a toiv. Even the Italians know this. You owe me one. He did you a favor, so you owe him one. He's calling in his debt, you know. The goyim understand this because it's a natural thing. When someone does you a toiver, it creates a debt, and we don't know what to do with that icky feeling. And you know why that is? Let's go a little bit deeper here. We were created by Tzelem Elokim. About the goyim, I don't know about them. That's another discussion. Yes or no? It's my focus. You're trying to get into that. What it means, Tzelem Elokim, by the way. That's for sure we were Tzelem Elokim. What does it mean with Tzelem Elokim? Givers. A Tzelem Elokim is a Kodesh Baruch Hu's most profound qualities that he can only give and not take. So, but Tzelem Elokim means we're givers. The only problem is we're the biggest takers in the world. There's no creature in the world, from the smallest egg of lice to the greatest, I don't know, galaxies and universes, that takes from this world as much as an Adam. From the minute you're born, you're taking and taking and taking, and can't survive without taking. There's a stira. It's an enormous contradiction. You're trying hard to be, but Selim Elokim, which means give, give, give. And at the same time, you're taking all the time. You can't get out of bed without doing negavas before you've taken from thousands of people. You can't eat without taking. Everything we do is taking. When you breathe, you're taking Hashem, that I ail that Hashem gave him. There's no way to pay him back for that. There's a stira, and that stira creates a icky, uncomfortable feeling inside of us. You choose what you do with that feeling. When someone does your toiv, it creates a debt. Naaman the kasuma, you heard of that? The bread of shame. Why did Hashem create the world? To give good. So give me good. I'm open to it. No, you need to go through Gehenna first and work for 6,000 years and do mitzvahs and struggle with your yitzhar and get up and fall and whatever in order to earn the good. Because if I give it to you for nothing, it's not the ultimate good. Because something you get for nothing is lacking good. Hashem wants to give you top good, platinum good. Not gold class, platinum class. So how do you get that? You earn it. Because if you get it for nothing, there's bread of shame. That's the whole reason why the world was created. To avoid bread of shame. And why Hashem couldn't create a world without bread of shame is a fascinating discussion in the last subject of Shabbat. But to be like Hashem, you have to be able to take without the bread of shame. How do you do that? The cure for that is a chorus of toiv. The cure for that contradiction is a chorus of toiv. That feeling you feel inside of you that we either feel guilty, you feel bad, you feel like a neighbor because you have to take, you nullify the other person because he's a nobody anyway, so why should I have my mom's chayv lim? He owes me one. A lot of stuff we do in order to get rid of the feeling of debt with someone that was a chesed. The correct thing to do with that feeling is turn it into a chorus of toiv. starts by loving the other person. That's what it's there for.
That pays back the other
thing. No. Doesn't pay back anything. A Koras HaTov balances out the giving and the taking. It balances out the giving and the taking. When you muck it toiv to the person, that somehow, again, sugi arok, it somehow takes care of that problem. That debt, that thing that's called a debt, whatever that is, whatever it feels like to you. You can get to the point where you don't feel anything when someone does kesef, when you become the ultimate taker and never feel any in debt that somebody gave to you. You become the biggest ingrate in the world. The person can do that as well. There are people like that. They solve the problem that way. They become the ultimate takers and there's no shyness to the tzelemen of kim anymore. There are people like that. Correct. Correct. He doesn't feel bigger. Hashem took that. Yeah. But Hashem sometimes finds a person that he can't hide it from the person anymore. The person keeps noticing the little things that Hashem's doing for him and thanking Hashem. Eventually Hashem says, I can't win with this guy. You know what? I'll just do it openly for you. Hashem's trying to hide as much as he can the goodness that he does for us. But there's some people that start recognizing the good that Hashem's doing for them. They learn Shara Bechim and they learn how to live in this life, recognizing the little things that Hashem does for them and thanking Hashem for them. He starts thanking Hashem for everything that Hashem does for him. Eventually Hashem says, I can't hide from this guy anymore. What can I do with him? So he just takes off the mask and he says, here I am. And he's Magali himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You do get people like that in the world that can notice the smallest little things that thank you, Hashem. I heard from a friend, Brian Vax, when he was driving in a car. There was a woman sitting in the back of the car and had an accident. And as the bang happened, not 10 minutes later, she said, Baruch Hashem. As the bang happened, he hadn't even realized what was happening. This woman screamed, thank you, Hashem. I said, wait, what are you going to hide yourself from a person like that? What are you going to hide? He can see you clearly in the middle of an accident when you see the crunch and the glass is flying. The first thing she says is, thank you, Hashem. So when are you going to hide from a person like that? So Hashem says, okay, it's all, I can't do you. Forget about you. I can't win with you. Again, the Chaimah Salavov is going to discuss that. It might be also to have a Koras HaTov to the person. I don't know. We'll see when we learn the Chaimah Salavov. It's a complex sugya. A Koras HaTov is a Koras HaTov for who you have to have. He's the source of everything. What's your Koras HaTov to the person? He was just a shliach. He was a robot. He law said klus. And even if he did it, I don't know. We'll see when we learn that in the Chaimah Salavov. I don't want to go there now because there's a sugya more odmurkav. It's not posh. It's not so simple. It's a big kasha. All the Australian, everyone has a kasha on next to go. It's. Exactly what the dargas of a Koras HaTov you have to the person. Okay. Again, you have to decide what kind of person you want to be. You want to be an Arach Toiv, Arach Ra? You want to be somebody who wants to have a Koras HaTov? You'll find opportunities. You don't want to, so you won't notice the opportunities. Same with betochen. I want to have betochen. So you find opportunities to have betochen. You don't find reason not to have because you want that. You've made choices about what you want, and now you go about doing it. You recognize that having a Koras HaTov is a wonderful quality. It's a central theme of why we're alive. So you look for opportunities to have a Koras HaTov. That's what it's about. If you've chosen, you haven't chosen, you want to be a bird. So what God does your family say, thank you. You've gone through life, never, ever having a proper Koras HaTov. Not as an Arach Ra, but you won't be an Arach Toiv either. Do you want to be an Arach Toiv? If so, okay, get busy.
What do you mean? I understand the question.
Depends what you mean. I'm not sure why they wanted to do the Koras HaTov. Because you have to have a lot of things that I have to do for you. The question is, the person receiving it, what's his response to the person that did the chesed for him? Rabbi Meir says, look, also, that's another. Brochas, Nun Hay, Nun Bod. You give it to me, I'll show you which page it is. It's in Brochas, Nun, something.
You know?
Or Samach somewhere. You're asking me to remember where it is. Google it. Yeah, and he's going to Google it.
Anyway.
Yeah,
Rabbi
Meir says, look, the Rebbe says, look, Rebbe says, look, the Gemara in Brochas Nun Tes Amud Beis explains why there was an earthquake in Morocco, because we didn't learn anything from the earthquake in Turkey. So it got closer than the one in Nepal, because we didn't even think about that one. Earthquakes happen in the world for us. If there was an earthquake in Morocco 2 days ago, it's because of us. It's there to tell us something. That's well worth learning, that Gemara, why earthquakes happen in the world. Because you notice it's getting closer and closer. Nun Tess, I'm at base, I think it's the one about earthquakes.
Okay,
it was Nepal, which, what's that? Sad as a Kamarocha. Then it was Turkey, we even felt it. Some people actually felt that earthquake. And now it's in Morocco. Most of your neighbors have family in Morocco. I'm saying it's very close, it's getting close to home. Why does Hashem make earthquakes? What the insurance companies call acts of God. And then they don't have to pay you because they don't pay for acts of God. But they don't believe in God. I'd love to fight that in court one day, counselor. What do you think? I always wanted to fight an insurance policy that doesn't want to pay because of an act of God. Because they don't believe in God. So how can they be Potter? Because the Sunday get nobody does.
Because they define it as force majeure.
Correct. I'm just saying. So, I would always wanted to fight that in court, but I gave up practicing law before I even started. And I ain't going back to it. Okay. Let's stop there.
No international tax.